Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They're the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 13th to the 15th, 2016 at the Doubletree Inn in Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming in New England at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information. Welcome to Wargaming Recon. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. Wargaming Recon is the only member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network to discuss historical and New England gaming. This is episode 143. That's right, 143. Leadbeer's Scenic Tufts. So if you are a new listener, or even if you're a longtime listener, I hope you will enjoy this episode. And I want to remind you, before I get any further, that you can get all of the information that we cover here, and you can get links and all that sort of stuff by heading to our show notes. So you don't need to worry about remembering all the things that I cover in this episode. I know a lot of you like to listen while you're maybe out at the gym, or you're commuting to and from work, or you're painting and doing all sorts of other stuff. But you're not just doing this. You're probably not sitting at a computer waiting to pounce on those links and all that kind of stuff. So don't worry. Above all else, just remember the link to the show notes is wargamingrecon.com/WR143. That's wargamingrecon.com/WR143. So today we are talking about something I am just incredibly excited to cover. And I don't think I'm going to be giving much away by saying that this isn't a review really of this particular product, but I want to talk about Leadbeer's Tufts. These are something I actually covered previously on a unboxing video that I did over on YouTube, and I also put it up on Facebook. It was very, very popular on Facebook. I think our most popular video there, and I don't happen to recall the numbers for that, but I know it was like head and shoulders above anything I had ever posted on Facebook insofar as videos go. So Leadbeer Tufts, you're like, what the heck? What are they? And Tuft? Talk about a vague term, right? And Leadbeer? Who is Leadbeer? And what? Questions, right? Lots and lots of questions. So these Tufts are really cool. I first heard about them through Facebook, and I was just kind of connecting with some people, and I saw on there that someone had got a bunch. I was like, what are they? I've never heard of them. I don't know where they're from. And this is what they are. They are these, and I'm trying to describe it without using adjectives like cool and amazing and awesome. They are these clumps, or tufts is the more appropriate term, but clumps of static grass. They are homemade. It's kind of like a cottage industry, actually, by one individual. His name is Barry Scarlett. He makes it in his wife's kitchen. He's a stay-at-home dad. And he makes them down in Australia where he lives. So he figured, hey, he had some time. Why not do this? And he had wanted to get them together to make for himself. He's a gamer, a wargamer, and he wanted to have some stuff to make his terrain look a little cooler. So he makes these things. And I don't know how anyone could physically make these themselves, because they look store-bought. They look just like you would find in what the professionals make, the people like an army painter or Woodland Scenics and all that kind of stuff. But he makes these things from the Silfloor Mini Nator static grass. So that's the same material that Army Painter uses when they sell their Army Painter tufts. It's the same material that a lot of actually professional companies use when they're selling their pre-made tufts. And he takes these tufts and he affixes them to what my wife says is parchment paper. She's a baker, so I showed it to her. I was like, is this parchment paper? I don't really know, but can you tell me? Can you enlighten me a little bit? She said it's parchment paper. They stay in place on the sheets. They're really easy to remove for your own usage. And he started to make them because he wanted to have some sort of tuft, really, to spice up his basing for his 15mm models and also for his commission work. So he began with his 4mm tufts. And he was making them, and somehow or other they became noticed by Nick Robson, who is the owner of Eureka Miniatures. And Nick had offered Barry a great deal. He said, you know what, I will stock these in the storefront and people can buy them. And it wasn't until then that Barry, from what he had told me, that he began to think, well, maybe I could actually sell these. Maybe these would be useful to people, something that I can make a little bit of money on, but would help other wargamers out there. So that kind of launched him into what is known as Leadbeer's Tufts. He's Leadbeer. And I think it's great how he came, with the name, how it really encapsulates that he's a wargamer and he's a dad. The bear, I would presume, is Teddy Bear, probably for his kid, and lead as in lead soldiers, toy soldiers. So I think the name is really cool. But let's talk more about the Tufts. So like I said earlier, I had been made aware of these through Facebook, and I decided this would be kind of cool to get some and look into it and see how. So he sells them through the Facebook page for Leadbeer Tufts. We'll have a link in the show notes, don't worry. But he has them there, and then I also discovered he has them on eBay, and I decided eBay would be the better route for me to go, because that way I could see what he has and complete the transaction there. It probably would be easier for payment and all that. So I bought two sets for myself and one set for a buddy, and I paid on, you know, it was a buy it now kind of sort of thing on eBay, and he's selling it through the eBay Australia store, but I was able to get access to them through the eBay US. I'm sure eBay UK or wherever you are in the world, you should be able to get access to them. And I purchased the ones I want and paid via PayPal, and there were some other payment methods. Shipping was really cheap. We'll get more into the details of the money and that kind of stuff a little bit later. And they arrived very fast. I was surprised at how quickly these things came in the mail. And let's talk about the packaging actually. I know there have been some reviews of these Tufts on YouTube and elsewhere, and one of the things that the reviews did not like, and they tend to love these Tufts, I gotta say that, they're like head and shoulders in adoration of these Tufts, and rightly so. But one of the things that a lot of those other people did not like was the packaging, and they had purchased them at conventions, I believe, down in Australia, because Barry goes to some of these conventions. He was at Little Wars, I believe, in 2015. And he sells them there when he's at a convention and also in the storefront. And the retail packaging for these things is what kind of knocked the product down in the eyes of those reviewers. And I'm not knocking it down, partly because I haven't interacted with that packaging, the two different types of packaging that he uses. But the packaging, the retail packaging, rather, that he's using, it, I think, is pretty cool. So he uses this. It's a clamshell plastic packaging. It's the sort of stuff you would see on like blister packs and that kind of stuff. Little less durable type of plastic, I believe. But again, I'm not certain because I haven't physically interacted with it. But it's cool because it is the most cost-effective type of packaging that he's found for retail use. But also, it helps out charity. So it is sold by the Royal Society for the Blind, which is an Australian charity. So the money that the Royal Society for the Blind gets from selling this packaging, I don't know how or why they chose to sell this type of packaging, but they sell it. And so the money that they get from that proceeds then go to help them in their charitable work. And I love that Barry chose to use that as packaging, not only because it is cost effective, but it's doing good in the world, right? And that's something I talk about a lot here on Wargaming Recon. I think it was maybe the last episode. I may have talked a little bit about this, but I know I have on the Patreon page. So if you're not a Patreon backer, you should be, because you'll get, you can get access to these behind the scenes kind of things. But I talk about three kind of goals basically that I have for Wargaming Recon. And one of them is that I need to use Wargaming Recon to do some sort of good in the world, to leave the world a little bit better than I found it, to help people out and, just kind of take care of our fellow man and woman and fellow person. Barry is doing that with this, through this packaging. Who would think packaging could do something so cool like that? And yet it's helping out this great charity down there in Australia, the Royal Society for the Blind. And that's what he uses for his retail stuff, for anything he sells at conventions or if it's stocked in a friendly local game store. But if you're like me and you can't get to a friendly local game store that has this because it's not readily available throughout the world, not in retail stores, that is. And I've never seen it at a wargaming convention that I've been to. Maybe it's at a Historicon or a Salute or something like that. I would be doubtful just because it's so new. Not doubtful because of any, that it's not worth being there. It's totally worth being there. Just that it's new and it hasn't progressed in that method outside of Australia, to my knowledge. So if you're like me and you want to get some of these, you're going to mail order it. And by mail, I mean, obviously it's coming in the mail, but you're not doing a catalog and writing a thing out and that sort of stuff. You go online, you can order through the Facebook page. Barry makes a lot of this stuff to order, partly because it's a cottage industry, right? He doesn't have warehouses or factories or employees. It's him, his kids somewhere in the house. He's watching his kid, his wife's off doing whatever. He's home and he's using their kitchen table to make this stuff. And he only has so much room. So obviously he can't have everything in stock all the time. He'll try to stock up, of course, for a convention or things like that. But if you want stuff, only so much makes it onto the eBay site for the buy it now auctions. If there's something you really want, you best contact Barry, especially through Facebook. He's pretty active there in placing an order. Or if you do like I did on eBay, you buy it there. And when they come, and for those of you, again, who've seen the unboxing video, and I'm only mentioning that, it's not something I would normally do on an audio podcast like this because you're listening, you're not able to see the stuff. But I'm just mentioning it in case you haven't seen the video to maybe encourage you to go see it because I think it's worth your time. And if you have seen it, to kind of link it together because I know a lot of you who listen have also seen the video. So I think it's worth including just because of that. But if you've seen the video that I did, the unboxing video, you know what the box looked like. But it's cardboard. It's this great corrugated cardboard box. It's a fantastic little mailer. The parchment paper with the tufts sits perfectly inside. It's protected. It came all the way from Australia to me here in Massachusetts in the USA. No damage, nothing. And because of this type of packaging, not only is it durable, but it's also very cost effective to send. And I'm going to get a little bit more into in depth in that in a bit, but basically I think it was like a dollar and change American for each box to be sent. And each box had anywhere between 120 and 140 tufts, depending on the size and that sort of stuff. But that's, I would say, roughly the going rate according to the eBay website. And I had asked Barry if he could combine it for a cheaper shipping or whatever. And he said he could put it into a different box, but it actually would be more expensive if he put all three together rather than shipping them separately. It must be Australian first class mail or something. I honestly don't know, but I was really impressed at the affordability of the shipping. And to purchase them, they were $10 Australian, and that was roughly $7.11 American. So pretty affordable. Before I dive into the cost, because I really want to, because I think that's one of its greatest strengths, let's talk a little bit about the different varieties that you can get. So he makes a lot of options available to you. You can buy the tufts in 4, 6, or he's just started doing 12 millimeter lengths. I gotta say, for me, the 4 millimeter is ideal. It's what he started with. He wanted it for 15 millimeter stuff. I think it would also look really good on 28/ heroic 28, you know, 35, that sort of stuff. Anything larger, you're probably gonna want to go with 6. My buddy wanted 6 mil length, so I picked up one of those for him, and it looks good. Again, I prefer the 4, and then the 12 millimeter, it's really long. There's a photo on the Leadbeard Tufts Facebook page that shows this little scene that Barry created. It's just a regular square base. It has a lion on it, and he's using 12 millimeter tufts to represent grasslands in Africa, and that the lion is hiding in the grass and that sort of stuff. It looks cool. The 12 millimeter tufts, they're a little shaggy kind of looking to me, and they don't hold up as well in the photos that I've seen. I don't have any 12 millimeter tufts, but the 4 and 6 are fantastic. I would recommend both. It depends on what you're working with and for what size you want. And then there are many different options for how the tufts will look. So first of all, you get your choice of different colors. He has things like green, dark green, wild grass, and this tan, and just like all sorts of those different types of colors. And then that aside, there are other varieties. You can get leafy tufts that have flowers. They can have purple, they can have red. He does crop strips, which is a really cool idea. And I think I need to see these in person because I have a feeling the photos are not doing them justice. But if you ever needed to do, say, like a cornfield or something, and you were dreading making that corn, you could do it really easily with these tufts. And he does a whole, it's a bunch of rows of the tufts to get, and they look like a bunch of crops that are just growing. And it's clearly an easy way to kind of do that very quickly. So he has those. He has something that's called arid tufts. They're very sparse in appearance for an arid environment where they probably don't have a lot of water to nurture the grass and get it to grow really well. He does a whole line of what he calls stony tufts. And these are tufts of grass, of the static grass that has small stones or rocks in them. It looks really cool, depending on the size you use, and they could represent gigantic boulders, or they could just happen to be some rocks that are there on the base. And he also has a what I'm calling combination tufts, things like stony tufts with flowers, stony tufts with leafy tufts. So you can really get a nuanced appearance to fit just about any environment you're trying to represent. Now, why would you buy tufts, right? Why not just get the flock and put that on, or buy a tub of static grass yourself and put the model base in, you paint the thin PVA glue onto the base, and you put that into your container and you swish it around, and then you bang it on the side and put it upside down and tap the bottom to get the static grass to stand up, and you have this whole row of static grass. Why not do that, or just put sand on, or pebbles, or any of that other kind of stuff? I think you may have guessed it just in my description of this. It's easy, right? You can get a great look on your bases of your models or a diorama or anything you're trying to do, any sort of modeling, by using these tufts. You literally, I kid you not, you literally pick them up. You can use tweezers if you want, but your hands are just fine. You pick them up and you put them where you want and just push firmly and you're done. They look good. They don't need extra adhesive, no extra glue or anything. They stay. So they go exactly where you want them to go. They'll last. You don't need any special coating on them. They're durable. So they're going to stand up to you gaining with them, which is important, right? They're going to be quick. They're going to be easy. Now, usually there's a trade-off here, right? If you want something that's going to make your life easier, make your life better, for example, you might want to get pre-painted minis. You might want to pay someone to paint your minis or pre-assembled build-ins and any of that kind of stuff. They tend to be really expensive, don't they? There's a whole bunch of stuff out there that's awesome. Pre-painted minis and foreground does some really cool terrain that just makes life so much easier. It's all, in my opinion, expensive. Is it worth the money? Yeah. But is it cheap? No. Is it affordable? Probably not. It's expensive. Is this expensive? Are the Leadbeater's tufts expensive? Well, I think it depends on your definition of expensive, but I'm going to say a very firm and resounding no. These are the most affordable tufts I've seen. I think they're even cheaper than buying that flock or buying the static grass or any of that kind of stuff. Let me talk about that a little bit. Let me do a cost analysis, okay? And normally I shy away from doing math just because I'm not so good at the math. Don't worry though, because I spent a fair bit of time working on this math to make sure that it was accurate, because I did it once and I was like, no, that can't be right. And I did it again. No, that can't be this price, right? It can't be. And I did it a few more times. I spent a lot of time making sure this is right. To come up with this cost analysis, I'm basing it on what I had ordered. I ordered two boxes that each had 140 tufts. They were 4 millimeter size tufts. One was a dark green, and one was wild grass, I think it's called. And the 6 millimeter one that I picked up from my buddy has 120 tufts in it. It's larger, so you can't fit as many on the sheet. The sheet of what I'm calling parchment paper is 10 by 11 centimeters, which is roughly 4 by 4 inches. I know not exactly, it's actually just under 4 inches in one way and just over 4 inches in another, like 4.1 inches. I'm just calling it 4 by 4 inches, okay? On there fits either the 120 or the 140 tufts in my case. And these are just the normal tufts. They're not the leafy tufts or the arid tufts or the stony tufts or any of that. Those look really cool, but I just wanted something basic, so I'm using this. So like I said, I bought them on eBay, where they were each selling for $10 Australian, $10 for each of the 140 tufts, $10 for the 120. Granted, what it's going to cost you in your local currency depends on local exchange rates. And if you pay via PayPal, they take that into account. But it cost me at the time, and this wasn't that long ago, this was just in 2015 when I had placed the order, it cost me $7.11 per box. So each 140 tufts was $7.11, not $711. 140 tufts were $7.11. And then the 120 tufts were also $7.11. You add on shipping, it was $8.46 per box of tufts. So when you do the math on that, it comes out to a cost per tuft of roughly 6 cents American per tuft for the 120 tufts, which was the 6 millimeter ones, and 5 cents a tuft for the boxes of 140 tufts each. And they were roughly 4 millimeters. So that box of 140 tufts, each tuft in there cost 5 cents to me, which means it has to be cheaper than 5 cents to bury to make it. So you have a range of between 5 and 6 cents per tuft. Okay. And like I said, you add in the shipping and all that kind of stuff. And I'm still getting great value because if you include shipping in the cost per tuft, you get a maximum of 7 cents per tuft with shipping costs added in, or 6 cents a tuft on the low end. That's for the 140 tufts. So total cost, including shipping and cost to actually buy the item, a maximum of 7 cents per tuft and a minimum of 6 cents per tuft. 6 to 7 cents a tuft. That is phenomenal. Shipping was $1.35 per sheet of tufts to me or also to Canada. It's free shipping within Australia. And it's only 45 cents American for shipping to New Zealand. On the eBay auction, on the Buy It Now auction, he didn't have any shipping costs listed to elsewhere in the world, to the UK or any of that kind of stuff. I'm sure he would ship it to the UK or to Europe or wherever if you ask. And that's why I'm saying you should go through the Facebook page. And the prices, I believe, are exactly the same. So let's do a comparison here, because that sounds good, right? But is it really good? How does this compare? And how does it hold up, if at all, when you put it with some of the stuff that you can find in your local hobby store? Because maybe you can't wait for this to come to you and to be made and to be shipped to you and come all the way from Australia. Maybe you need the tufts like today because you got a project that you want to finish up and you need it done soon. So let's say you go to your friendly local game store and you're going to buy a container, a blister pack really, of Army Painter tufts. Reminder, these are also made by Silfloor, which is the same stuff that Barry uses to make Lead Bears tufts. I happened to do that, and I had bought a blister pack of it. It cost me $6.99 plus my local sales tax brought it up to $7.43. And there were roughly 44 tufts that were 6 millimeter in size. These tufts were not uniform. There were some that were really, really small, almost, I would say, unusable. There were some that were just kind of clumped together, like 5 or 6 tufts that it would be almost impossible to break apart so that they look pretty good. There were tufts that were just perfect size. You got a conglomeration of things going on in there. The cost per tuft for the Army Painter tufts is 16 cents American per tuft. However, most of those tufts would be really small, much smaller than what you get with Barry's tufts. A more accurate comparison would require buying multiple blister packs of Army Painter tufts. If you did that to get the same number that you get in Barry's for a true comparison, the cost per tuft would be closer to 20 to 25 cents per tuft for those Army Painter tufts. A quarter per tuft for Army Painter, made out of the same stuff that Barry uses to make his. Barry's tufts for the same exact scale, 6 millimeter, which is the same as the Army Painter one, made out of the same stuff, the Silfloor Mini Nator static grass materials. If you include shipping costs for Barry to me, that was 7 cents a tuft. If you don't include shipping costs, it is 6 cents a tuft. That means Army Painter tufts are roughly 3.5 times more expensive than Lead Bears tufts for the same thing, made out of same materials. It's the same core stuff and everything. You're paying 3.5 times more for the Army Painter per tuft. So basically, for every single Army Painter tuft you can get 3.5 for the same price by Lead Bear. This is definitely a case where more is better if you're getting more stuff for less money, but more money is not good. Paying more for the Army Painter when it's the same stuff, it looks almost as good as what you get with Barry's, is your jaw dropping to the floor? So I was skeptical, right? Because I looked at this over and over and over and over again, and I've been looking at this for weeks and weeks. Like, how the heck can he get tufts down to be between 5 and 6 cents a tuft without shipping? 5 and 6 cents per tuft American. And I know exchange rates and all that kind of stuff, but how? 5 cents a tuft? 5 cents. A nickel. 1 nickel per tuft. How? How can I get 140 tufts for $7.11 American? How? So I asked him and I was like, Barry, you must get this a lot, right? $7.11 American. It's 5 cents a tuft. How the heck can you do that when Army Painter, which is made out of the same stuff that you use, is closer to 20 to 25 cents a tuft? How can you come in so much less? And the answer goes back to what I talked about in the beginning. He's a stay-at-home dad. He's doing it at his kitchen table. So he doesn't have a factory. He doesn't have employees. He doesn't pay extra for utilities or for any of that kind of stuff. He's paying for the materials used to make these. He doesn't have special storage facilities or any of that kind of stuff. He's not on the large scale that the army painter people are. It's a cottage industry. That's how it gets to be so cheap. He's at home. It doesn't take extra time for him to do this. It's something he would be doing anyway. It doesn't cost him extra. It's not like he has to add on a room to his house. It's not like he has to pay extra utilities to keep the lights on or heat on in a room that he wouldn't use otherwise. No, he's using all that stuff extra. It doesn't cost him extra to do it. Therefore, it doesn't cost you and me and our fellow wargamers extra to buy them. This is why I'm so excited. You get this superior quality product. You get it for 3.5 times less money than Army Painter. So that's more money in your pocket or more money to buy more of these tufts for armies or whatever. You're helping out a charity because that retail packaging he uses helps out the national, Royal Society for the Blind in Australia. So you're helping out a charity. You're doing good in the world. You're getting good quality stuff. You're helping a cottage industry. You're helping a fellow wargamer. You're keeping money in your pocket. It is win, 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 win all across the board. Is there a downside to this? Well, yeah, it's a cottage industry. So he might not have exactly what you want in stock when you have it. Sometimes he needs to make stuff to order, but that's also a plus, right? So you might want something or maybe you have a special idea for something that he hasn't done yet. Float it by him. Tell him what you're looking for and he'll make it for you. He will make it exactly what you want. And then you get it and it's fantastic. I tell you, looking at a sheet of these tufts, I honestly don't know how he does it. The spacing is almost robot perfect between them. They don't touch. They don't blend together. You don't get any of that kind of problems that I've had with the Army Painter ones where I don't know how Army Painter extrudes the tufts that they make and puts them onto the backings that they use, but they always stick together. They morph into these weird hybrid, like mutant looking things. You don't get that with these. These are perfectly formed tufts. They're beautiful. They're consistent. I would love to know how Barry does this because not that I have the skill, but this is, it's amazing. And just manually, like how he actually mechanically gets it done. What kind of glue does he use? What's his method? He should be on an episode of How Stuff Works. I tell you, it is truly impressive. So, I know this isn't a review, and it kind of probably sounds like a review, but it's not really. But I have to say, this is the one product all year for wargamers that I've been most excited about. Probably the one product I've been the most excited about for the past few years for wargamers. Is it innovative? Is it different from what you're going to get? It's not going to look different. It's going to blend in with other tufts that you've used, but it's a better quality. It looks better. He can do cool stuff with it, things that'll be unique. When have you seen stony tufts anywhere? You may have seen leafy tufts or the ones with flowers or whatever, but they don't look as nice as what he does. And he can do really awesome combinations. They're durable. They're more affordable. They help charity. It gets 2 thumbs up for me. And I shouldn't do this because I try not to spoil future episodes, but you can bet your bottom dollar that these will make it into the 2015 holiday gift guide here at Wargaming Recon because these are just fantastic. Should you want to get in touch with him, use the Facebook page that they have. We'll have a link in our show notes to it. But basically, if you just head on over to wargamingrecon.com/LeadBearsTuftsFB, that'll bring you right to it. There's no punctuation or commas or any of that kind of stuff, no apostrophes. And that'll take you right to it. We'll also have a link to his eBay section so you can buy stuff. We'll have a link to the unboxing video. I want to remind you, check that out. wargamingrecon.com/LeadBearTuftsUnboxing. You'll be able to actually see some of them on there. There's photos on the Facebook page. I continue to be so pleasantly amazed by this. This is a case where talk that I had heard about on Facebook about this, actually from Alyssa Faden of the Torn Armor Kickstarter and just all that really cool stuff that she does. She's a cartographer. I could go on about it. She's going to be on a future episode anyway, but she said a lot of great things about it. And I asked her how it compared to Army Painter. And she's like, Army Painter, and I didn't really, she wasn't familiar with Army Painter. And just like the talk and the hype was so high on this about how happy she was and other people too. And I thought, oh, it can't be that good. This is a case where the hype lives up. The hype isn't as good as a product. The product is better than the hype. And I don't know the last time I've ever encountered that. these have me more excited than just about any other Wargaming product I've been able to lay my hands on recently. And they're simple. They're for basing your models. You pick them off, you put them on, and that's it. The hardest thing is picking out what type you want and choosing where to place it on the base, where to place it in your diorama. That is the most difficult thing you will do with them. Other than that, you put them on and you play. And this is the kind of product that someone like me who doesn't like to paint and doesn't like any of that kind of stuff can do to play games quicker and easier. You can bet that I get these and I'm going to use them probably on my Hail Caesar stuff when I get off my butt and get to work on that. I would say I'm speechless, but I've talked about for about what, half hour already about how wonderful these things are. Buy them, buy them, buy them. I can't say it enough. Just buy these Tufts from Leadbear's Tufts. Barry does a fantastic job, and I hope that enough of you have a need for these and want to get these, that enough of you buy them, that you give him so much business he doesn't know what to do with, because I think he deserves it. I think the product is amazing, and I think you won't be disappointed, because this is fantastic. It is just exceptional. And you know, I don't think I've referred to a product or anything on the show before as exceptional. I think that's the first time I referred to something as exceptional. Leadbeer's Tufts are exceptional, so you should get them. And that's where that's at. So let's move on to the mailbag section of the show. It's one of my favorite parts because I get to hear from all of you. I love communicating with all of you guys there. I love our community that we built up. We're a great community of Wargamers. And Wargamers do a lot of really cool things. We help each other. We support each other. And we have fun, right? And that's what it's all about. So from YouTube, listener MC1Gamer said of episode 142, which was the Age of Sigmar episode, he said, quote, "I strongly suggest actually playing the game. A lot of your issues with the game are common initially. However, it plays so much different than it reads. Easy to learn and far more complexity than most give it credit. Give it a try. You might change your mind." So MC1Gamer, thank you very much for your comments. I've responded on YouTube, so I know you've seen them, and anyone else who happens to see that live recording on YouTube will see my more extensive comments to him. But I agree with you. It's definitely worth playing a game. And I want to make it clear that the Age of Sigmar episode wasn't supposed to be a review of the game and gameplay. So if I failed in that, I apologize. I really do. It was really supposed to be more just a discussion of Age of Sigmar and the rules and what Games Workshop has done with those rules. And I really do feel that Aaron and I provided a fair and balanced discussion on Age of Sigmar. There are things that I don't like about Age of Sigmar, and maybe in playing it, it'd be like, oh, that's fine. It says it in the rules, or it doesn't say it in the rules, but it makes perfect sense on the tabletop. Maybe that would be true. And like I said in that episode, I have always, always, always said, I am willing to play just about anything as long as I, one, don't have to paint it, two, don't have to assemble it. As long as I can just show up and play, I am most likely willing to play just about anything. And that includes Age of Sigmar. And I had a lot of hope for this before it came out, and it didn't completely live up to my hope. But that philosophical aspect of the most important rule, all caps in the Age of Sigmar rules, that really gives me a lot of hope. And I really do hope that Games Workshop continues to use that rule and to take it and thrust it into the spotlight for all their products, to really kind of create a more inclusive community where gamers are working together and cooperating to create the most fun interaction that they can have, so that it's not about who's winning and who's losing, but about having the most fun you can have. And is that hard when a game like, say, 40K, for example, is really built upon a strong point of easy to play tournament kind of stuff? In that sort of thing, you need to have a winner, you need to have a loser. Just, it's how tournaments go, right? Or even a campaign or a league, that kind of stuff. It's harder then, but I think no matter who wins or who loses, and everyone involved has to try their hardest to win. But no matter who wins or who loses, the goal shouldn't be to win. The goal should be to have the most fun for everyone involved, most fun possible. And I think Games Workshop is doing that with that most important rule. And I think as long as they continue to stride in that direction, we're going to continue to see some really cool stuff coming from them. So thank you again, MC1Gamer, for sharing your thoughts about episode 142. And then over on Twitter, there were some comments recently from listener Carl. He said, quote, "I've recently discovered the Wargaming Recon podcast. It's well worth a try. Easy listen. covers a wide variety of subjects around wargaming. So, Carl, thank you for your comments on Twitter. I hope you'll continue to follow us there. And I hope you also maybe make the jump to our Facebook page where we have photos and a lot more stuff is put out on social media through our Facebook page. I'm really happy you like the show, and I hope you'll continue to listen and tell your friends and fellow wargamers about it. And then listener Michael also said on Facebook, quote, "Oh, I see an interview with a certain Mr. Hyde in episode 119. That's worth listening to." So thank you, Michael, for your comments and your quote there and your suggestions. And Mr. Hyde in question is Mr. Henry Hyde. He is always worth a listen. No matter what he's on, he's someone else. He's always someone you got to watch. He's just always worth supporting, no matter what he's working on. He's fantastic. I'm a huge fan of Mr. Henry Hyde, as he knows. Maybe embarrassingly so, I don't know. But I don't think I've come across anything that Henry has done that I haven't liked. it's all so darn good. It really is. In episode 119, no argument for me. It's fantastic. He will also be on a future episode of the show. We're just working on the scheduling for that. And so then we have some announcements actually coming up. The big, big, big announcement. It made it, out to the public on Facebook already, but this is going to be the first time I will talk about it here on the show, although you've already heard it kind of at the beginning of the show, unless you fast forward through the introduction credits and that sort of stuff, in which case, surprise! I am delighted to say that we have a sponsor for Wargaming Recon. I cannot say enough how over the moon I am that the very, very, very kind, incredible people at the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They're the people who put on Huzzah. It's historical wargaming for New England. It's this amazing, my words, amazing historical gaming convention up in Maine. It's up in Portland. I've loved the convention. I love the stuff that MHWA has done. And I am just, I'm floored and humbled that they decided to sponsor the show and that they think enough of what I'm doing here with Wargaming Recon that they want to support this. And I can't do this without their support. I can't do this without the listeners. I can't do it without all of you. So I am incredibly thankful and grateful for MHWA supporting Wargaming Recon is really what it is. I try not to get too in depth with the financials and all that kind of stuff, but basically one of the reasons why I've been pushing so much about the Patreon and about some of the affiliate programs that we have, and the sponsor is, of course, it has to be a value to you, the listener. It has to be something that's worth your time. Because if it's not, then I don't care. I don't care what it does to me financially, how much money it gives me. If it's not worth it for you, I'm not going to recommend it. If it's not good, I'm not going to recommend it because my reputation's on the line. And it has to be worth your time, your effort. It has to be of value to you. But basically, money wasn't great here at Wargaming Recon. It costs a lot of money. A surprising amount of money, actually, to do the podcast, for equipment, for, services that we need to keep things going, to obtain products, to review, to talk about, to go to conventions and all that kind of stuff. It's expensive, right? And I got a baby now. My wife has a new job, which is fantastic, but the new job, as amazing as it is, it's actually, a cut in income. So we've had adjustments on our end, but and I'm not complaining, but what that has meant is that I haven't been able to personally put as much money into Wargaming Recon as I had in the past. So therefore, the show really has to kind of stand on its own as much as possible. And that means through financial support, through listeners, whether it's through just doing a donation on our, we have a PayPal donation button on our website, or through Patreon, or through sponsors sponsoring the show, and that kind of stuff. So that I really have to rely more on that, because if it didn't and if it doesn't exist, if that sort of money doesn't exist to keep the show afloat, there would eventually become a time where I would just have to, I'd have to stop doing the show. And I would hate to do that because I have a lot of fun doing it. I think a lot of you really enjoy what I do here. It's providing value to you and entertainment and informational. And then it's also helped me to meet so many of you when I go to conventions and just here and there, game days and that sort of stuff. I've met a ton of fantastic wargamers. And so knowing that MHWA has agreed to sponsor the show for a year, that's a huge relief for me because it means I can continue doing this at this level of quality that you deserve and doing it for you so that each of you can hear the show and see what's going on and that I can just continue to contribute to you and hopefully enriching your lives in this way. For me, you know, it's not a business. It's not how I make my living. I have a 9-to-5 job and that kind of stuff. It's a hobby. But I dedicate myself to this. I try to make this as good as I can be for you because it has to be worth your time. So just thank you again to MHWA. Want to remind everyone, huzzah is a fantastic, my words, historical wargaming convention in Portland, Maine. It will be happening on May 13th through the 16th, 2016. I will be there yet again as a guest of the convention, doing a live recording. I'll be there doing my live show like I did last time. And that was a lot of fun. I had a blast. And my wife, my daughter will be up there with me, so it'll be really cool for them to be back up at Portland for all of us. And it's going to be so much fun. So I hope you will plan to be there. It'll be held at the Doubletree in South Portland. So make sure you keep your ears tuned to Wargaming Recon, because I'll have more information about Huzzah as it's made available. And I mean, it's still early. That's May 2016, and I'm recording this in August 2015, so there's still time to go. What else do I got? Just a reminder, I record this live, just about every single episode. You can watch live, streaming recordings of this. It's on the live page. You can go on YouTube. On the YouTube channel we have, it's wargamingrecon.com/YouTube. And you can get, them on there. Stuff works on your mobile device and all that kind of stuff. So it's really cool. And then, speaking of thanks, I want to thank everyone who's been, supporting me on Patreon. We have, different levels of support on Patreon. So you can choose, how much you can afford to give, how much you want to give. You can get in for $1 an episode, and that is like saying thank you to me. It's like a tip jar, right? It's less than a cup of coffee. And that money, believe it or not, $1 doesn't sound like a lot per episode. It's a huge help, right? Every little bit helps. And then we have the next level up. It's $3 an episode, or $3 or more an episode. And you get a variety of things with this. But one of the cool things is you get thanked by name at every episode of the show in which you are a backer, as long as you're a backer at that level. So for example, I want to thank Dave and the War Games at Battle Shades Facebook group for being backers on Patreon. I couldn't do it without you guys. And then I also want to thank, and he's been the longest, I don't know how I would phrase, longest serving back. He's backed me the longest on Patreon. And he's recently upped his level of backing of support to the $3 or more an episode level, because one of the things that I want to do, I always want to give more value for this stuff than what I get in return. And one of the things that I'm doing is I'm doing behind the scenes kind of content that gets shared only with those who support me on Patreon. And there might be, I might have photos, or maybe there might be audio, different things, video, or often it'll just kind of be internal musings and things that I didn't talk about on the show or that just didn't make the cut. And I had released some of that on there. And everyone who backs me on Patreon gets it. Doesn't matter how much you give. You give $1, you get it. Or you give $3, you get it. $25, you get it, right? As long as you're on Patreon and you're supporting me. And so this individual, that added so much value. He upped his level, and he's at this level. So I want to thank Jamie, who is at Drake Pole Dragon on Twitter. And I want to thank him for supporting me on Patreon. And I also want to say that Jamie has some very exciting news that has me very happy. He is a dad for the second time to a brand new, beautiful baby girl. So congratulations, Jamie, on becoming a father for a second time around. I can only imagine how excited and happy your wife and you are. And just wish all the good things in the world for all of you. So thank you, Jamie. And thank you again, Dave, and the War Games at Battle Shades Facebook group for supporting me on Patreon. So maybe you want to support me on Patreon too. It's pretty easy to do, and all you gotta do is you go to the Patreon website, you create your free account, and you choose what level you want to back me at. Go to wargamingrecon.com/Patreon, and you can do that. I can tell you that we are $9 away from reaching our next goal. We had met the second goal that allows us to automate a bunch of the editing, and the next goal lets me get a digital scheduler, and that will make it easier for me to schedule guests so that I can have more guests on the show. Sometimes, oddly enough, it can take a lot of time to schedule a guest. I think one of the worst was like 9 months it took to actually work with my schedule and the guest schedule to really pin things down. And that's like back and forth emails and checking calendars and all sorts of stuff. Scheduling is hard, and it's gotten harder now that I have all these things, with my family and my personal life. So making sure things jive just right and connect properly, this digital schedule will make a big difference. And it's really easy to make this, to reach this goal. I just need three of you to, back me on Patreon for only $3 an episode. And then we meet that goal and you do it at that $3 per episode level and you get thanked by name in every episode. It's pretty cool, right? So that is something that I'm working on. And I believe that is, yes, I'm just checking my notes. That is all the stuff I have for this episode. So I want to remind you that you can check our episode guide to see what's coming down the pipe. We have a new episode coming out on September 14th, 2015. That'll be episode 144. And I didn't write down what it's going to be about, but I believe it's actually going to be the TSR Podcast Network with Peter Bryant. He's a producer over there and he actually developed the game that one of their shows is based on, Cube of Death, not Game of Cube. That makes no sense. Cube of Death, which is a really cool game, by the way. And I played it actually not on the show, although I will be on that show. It's called Cube of Death. Anyway, I believe that's what it's going to be. I don't have it written down, so apologies, but check the episode guide, wargamingrecon.com/episode guide. And that is cool because that tells you not only what we've done with links to all the past episodes that we've done, but it tells you what's coming up. If I have a topic or a guest or any of that kind of stuff, I pin it in there. It tells you when the episode will come out. It's pretty handy that way. So you can kind of see what sort of stuff you want to make sure you get right away and what stuff you can maybe batch together for a marathon listening section. And that will be episode 144 will be broadcast live, be another live recording. Don't have the date yet, but I will share that on our social media. And social media is really important. It's used to time sensitive updates, in such as a case like this where I don't have the date for you or the topic, but I'll share it on social media. So you can connect with me on Facebook, wargamingrecon.com/Facebook. Also on Twitter, not as much as Facebook, but also on Twitter, wargamingrecon.com/tweet. Or you can send an email to jonathan@wargamingrecon.com. I get all of those. It might take me a little bit of time, a little longer than I would hope to respond, but I do respond to that. And you can also send a message to me through the Facebook page, wargamingrecon.com/Facebook. There's a little icon you can click. It's like message or something like that. And it sends a message to me through the Wargaming Recon Facebook page, and I get those and I respond and all that kind of stuff. Well, anyway, that's what I have for you here for this episode. It's episode 143, Leadbeater's Scenic Tufts. Just a reminder, these are amazing tufts. I can't say enough. They are exceptional, right? So you have to get them. Just buy some. Even if you don't need them right now, buy a set of 140 or 120. You know, get your 4mm ones, your 6mm. Buy a set. Have them on hand for when you do need them. Buy a set to give as a gift. Just buy a set. They are affordable. They're fantastic. They're exceptional. You can't go wrong. And I want to once again just thank my backers on Patreon. I want to thank Jamie and I want to thank the just incredible in singular Dave and the War Games at Battleshades Facebook group. And I also have to give a huge heartfelt thank you to the Maine Historical Wargamers Association who put on Huzzah. It's a just delightful historical wargaming convention up in Portland, Maine. Hopefully you'll be there so I can see you in person. If you do, say hi. I'd love to see you. So this means that from now on, you'll be able to hear a sponsor message both at the beginning and at the end of every episode. They should be the first thing you hear after the music and the last thing you hear. So I hope you'll take the time to listen to that sponsor message. It's very important. And if you go to Huzzah, if you are a member of MHWA or you support MHWA, please let them know that you heard about them because of Wargaming Recon, because it's really important for sponsors to know that they're getting value for what they're doing. And if they know that, if you go to Huzzah and you're like, I'm coming to Huzzah, I happen to hear about it on Wargaming Recon, they'll be like, wait, this is worth doing the time and spending the money on. Maybe we should do it again. And that then allows me to continue doing the show and allows me to give you the content that you enjoy, that gives you value. And then you can go and you see how it is. It's a great kind of circle of life, not to get too Disney-fied there. So yeah, that is this episode. I want to thank all of you so, so much for taking the time out of your very busy lives to listen to this episode of Wargaming Recon. Like I said, I hope you pick up some of these amazing tufts by Leadbeater's Tufts. No matter how busy you are in your lives, no matter how much is going on, how many models need some basing with some awesome Leadbeater's Tufts, please know that you gotta, you need to, you have to keep on gaming. Are you always on the go? Why not take Wargaming Recon with you? If you use an app like Pocket Cast, you can listen to your favorite episodes of Wargaming Recon and all of the other podcasts that you know and love. Or you can always stream and download the latest episode of Wargaming Recon by heading on over to the show notes for that episode.
Hey there, this is Ben Gerber from Troll in the Corner, and I'd like to invite you to listen to my podcast, Indie Talks. Indie Talks is a discussion about independent publishing, where we take a look at indie games, the people who write them, and the people who play them. We're going to branch a little farther afield as well and talk to some independent television and movie stars and creators, as well as crafters, all of who are related to gaming in some way, shape, or form. So please join me on the Troll in the Corner Network at trollitc.com and give Indie Talks a listen.
Are you a wargamer and want to know what to do when you're an Australian wargamer? Then you need to tune into the Hobby Desk for Australian wargamers. This is a member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network, and we're here to give you the best possible things that Australian wargamers can give to you, the listeners. And I hope you enjoy what we do, because guess what? It's coming more and more often and more awesome for you who listen to the Hobby Desk on the Troll in the Corner podcast network.
This is Andreas, Apprentice of the White Order. I would like to invite you to listen to my letters, a humble collection of my observations of the various beautiful and very, very dangerous creatures that inhabit my world. I hope you enjoy it as part of the Monsters of the Shattered World on Troll in the Corner at trollitc.com.
Wargaming Recon is a proud member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network. Visit www.trollitc.com for more information. This recording is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial ShareAlike 3.0 license. Look for Wargaming Recon online at www.wargamingforums.com. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, and Stitcher Radio. You can learn more about this episode by reading the show notes on our blog. Many thanks to Andrew and Court for inspiring the show's name. Thank you for listening, and keep on gaming.
Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They're the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 13th to the 15th, 2016, at the Doubletree Inn in Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming in New England at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information.